We are Michael Veazey in London, England.
Jason Miles in Seattle, Washington.
More importantly, you are the owner of a thriving online business and you want to become the best e-commerce leader you can be. We're here to get you there. Let's jump in.
If you're an Amazon third-party seller, you have an opportunity to promote your products using Amazon ads. In this episode, we'll dive into the details and also share strategic advice you won't hear anywhere else. Now, Michael, I know that you've got a lot of experience with your group, your tribe that you lead, the 10X folks, and all of the people you work with in terms of your coaching and consulting, and of course, your prior experience yourself personally with Amazon ads. You ready to dive into this today?
I am, yes. I'm hesitant to say that it's something you won't hear anywhere else because Amazon ads gets done to death in the podcast kind of sphere. So I hope perhaps we'll give a bit of common sense that is a little bit more lacking elsewhere.
I'm confident. It will be original.
Yeah, I hope that's what we can bring.
It's always original. It has to be original. We'll do some original stuff in this episode for sure.
Yes. Absolutely. Yeah. Great. Well, let's get into this. I mean, what, have you got any questions that spring to mind for yourself?
Well, sure. Yeah. Kind of take a learner position here in this conversation and really tap into your wisdom and expertise on this. So let's just start at the basics. I mean, tell us about Amazon ads. How do they fit into the overall picture for Amazon sellers? Give us the basics.
So yeah, the basics are that the main products, Amazon sponsored products, is a bit like Google adverts in the sense that you respond to paid it's paid search. So people put keywords or search terms into the search bar, click search, and then your product turns up, rather like you can get a listing to turn up on Google. So it's pretty straightforward from that point of view what it is. There are a couple of new wrinkles to that, which is it's still paid search, I guess, but there's a sponsored brands and sponsored display ads. I haven't used them much. My clients haven't used them much, but there are sort of new opportunities that have come up with that, which we can discuss a bit as well.
So what are the basics for an Amazon seller? When should they weave this into their overall efforts, do you think?
Unfortunately, there are so many new skill sets, and we've mentioned this before, right? But the truth is, there are so many skill sets that go with e-commerce that you've got to get the physical product development done right. You've got to liaise with suppliers. You're importing or exporting your products, most likely importing from China to the US or possibly Vietnam to UK these days, whatever it may be. But unfortunately, I would say if you're going to launch a private label or custom made product, you need to get it from the beginning. So it is a new skill set. It would be nice to be able to wait. But my experience is that products live or die on Amazon fairly quickly. You get judged very fast. As you mentioned before, it's pretty intense. That's the nature of the beast in my experience. I don't think it's wise to just pop a beautifully made product on Amazon with a nice listing and then send no traffic. That is not a winning strategy in my experience.
Yeah, I remember being at Chris Green's merch conference that he did it here in Seattle. And I spoke at that, was it 2 years ago, maybe? And one of the other presenters was an Amazon employee. And, you know, truth be told, they're not supposed to speak, but they have to get permission or something like that to speak. And the guy spoke, and he was a high up guy in the product side, is technical guy. And he basically said that products on Amazon have what they internally refer to as a cold start problem, where if you just dump a product on, it's just like an engine that's sitting there. It's not doing anything. And yeah, that, and his whole commentary was overcoming that cold start problem is really the marketer's effort to achieve. I mean, it's the marketer's work to make happen. And of course, ads help play a part in that.
Absolutely. And I think if there's one thing that people take from this podcast, I mean, a lot of people that are listening, I'm fortunate to say a couple of them have got in touch with me. They're some very sophisticated sellers indeed who are listening, which is great, but they will know all about Amazon ads in some cases. In many cases, though, people come from a background where Amazon's just another sales channel, or they're new to it, and they don't really get that you have to treat it violently different from, you know, trying to rank a blog article or something on Google. Really, the pace of life there is so fast that you absolutely have to think about this from the very beginning, or as you said, the cold start means you are going to be totally buried. And because the economics of Amazon are not so great in terms of you've got 15% advertising commission, I should say, on your sales, etc., then it doesn't really work to wait and hope. And it's just not a thing you can do. So I'm fortunate you have to learn this skill pretty much from the beginning. And some people don't, and their products just languish. So yeah, that's the, if nothing else, if you take nothing else from this, you've already learned, you know, go do this, learn this skill set.
Well, but the fundamental issue then of who should use AMS ads or Amazon ads, I'll refer to it as AMS ads because that's just in my brain how I've always referred to it. Amazon Marketing Services was the phrase we'd use. The question is who should use it? And the real answer is somebody who knows their product is good. You know, I mean, now that's the trick is, the worst possible thing to do is to spend money advertising to unimpress new customers. And so just let's zoom out for a minute to talk about big picture strategy. If you have a marginal product, then you really don't want to spend money advertising it before you figure out how to upgrade the product to be a winning idea. And so I think that's first principle, get a good product. Second principle, put it in front of as many people as possible, as you know, cost efficiently as possible. So I think that's an important thing to point out. You just can't take average product and put it on Amazon and spend a lot of money advertising without getting a lot of marginal reviews. And then, you know, you're sinking yourself. So that's part of the nuance here is your product launch has to be of something of value. And there's, you know, that's a hard one.
I agree. I couldn't agree more. And so I suppose if we're zooming back out in terms of how I work with new clients who are new to the Amazon space, but I think the game is the same for everyone. I call it niche, source, launch, learn is the basics of the process. The first one is your niche research. If you go for a market where you don't have there are four basic filters I have. If you can't afford to enter the market, and in the US, there's often a market for some random widget that is $700,000 a month in revenue in the first, say, five pages. If you've got $10,000 burning a hole in your pocket, you should not be near that market. It's too big for you. The second thing is, if there's no demand, the opposite extreme happens more easily in the UK or certainly France, Italy, the small markets. The third thing is, if you can't beat the competition, if you're trying to go up against, you know, some household name, Russell Hobbs in the UK for kettles, for example, teapots, whatever you call it in the US, that's not a good plan. And if you can't differentiate your product, if it's exactly the same as everything else, it becomes a price war and you lose to the cheapest producers, which is nearly always the Chinese. So yeah, in terms of product selection or keyword market driven selection, keyword driven market, I should say, that's the first thing. Yes, if you get that wrong, you're toast. Your launch will be a horrible disaster, whatever you do. And then the second thing is, 2 points about the product itself. Number one, the quality needs to be good enough or preferably better. And number two, the hard thing to do, to get that at a price such that it is profitable at the price dictated by the market. So yes, all of those things absolutely must be true for your launch to work. So yeah, that's absolutely correct.
And if you're listening to this and you're asking yourself, well, how do I do that? How do I get a good product? Just as a kind of side note, Kyle and I, in our video tip of the week work, are doing a series right now called we're calling it Lockdown Startups, how to launch a product during COVID lockdown. And one of our steps that we're talking about is convening people who have a need or a problem or a concern and really tapping into their kind of felt need and understanding it. And then from that flows a lot of product ideas that in multiple formats. I mean, it could be an info course, a book, could be, you know, a physical product, a group, it could be a membership group. And so go get that series of videos if you'd like on winningonshopify.com, or look for them on this podcast because we do take those MP3s and put them in here. And so that would be called Lockdown Startup.
Perfect. Well, yeah.
I think that's a good segue because you really can get lost in that whole world of, well, how do you improve or enhance or create a product that has value? And that's an important set of efforts to go into it. That's a total side note from advertising.
Well, it is and it isn't. But I think, yeah, we've got to put it in context. So first of all, I love what you're saying because it's exactly the process I go through with my clients now. I actually use a process based around a book called Running Lean by Ash Murray, which is about detailed interviewing with potential product consumers. Both before you even have a product and then after you've got a product. I'm going through that process with a couple of clients right now, and it is amazing the detail you get out of it. And you find these little moments of like, that is our differentiating point. That is where we're going to really kill it. So I couldn't agree more. But assuming you've done all of that stuff, just to come back towards the adverts, I would say the relationship between those factors you've talked about, picking a right niche, making sure you understand your customer very, very deeply, and then create a product that absolutely fits their needs. The marketing side shouldn't be that hard if you've done those things correctly, because in essence, I would say, and we can get into the details of how, but in essence, you want to advertise on Amazon ads, sponsored product ads to keep it simple, on the right keywords that you've decided are winnable, i.e. you can take a piece of the market that shows up on Amazon by your product ranking somewhere on page one, i.e. the top 14, 16 results. And number two is worth winning, i.e. you can make some profitable sales. If there's almost no search volume, it's not worth having. If it's hyper-competitive, it's not going to be winnable. So that's really the sweet spot between those two things. And if you've got a great list of those things, you create your listing around that. That's the first thing. And then the flip side of the listing is the Amazon advertising, which is basically the same list of keywords as you have in the listing. And then you need to press the go button and spend some good money, because even if you've got everything right, you will still be invisible if you haven't got this cold start done, as you say. So that's the basics of it.
Yeah, let me just say, we're going to structure this conversation, just so people who are listening know, we're going to structure this as sort of big picture and then go into detail. So if you're listening to this and you're thinking, I don't know anything about these ads you're talking about, don't worry, we're going to go into some detail here. But first, we want to cover the big picture stuff. So I just wanted to make sure people knew kind of our path forward here in terms of the conversation.
Absolutely. Yeah. So, I mean, what other questions would you say come up with your clients when you're discussing Amazon ads or AMS?
Well, it's a question I ask them, which is, how much of your overall budget are you spending on advertising? And, you know, the easy thing to do is to launch a product to get some traction on it. Well, let me say it this way. It is frequently the case that the people who we work with have launched a product on Amazon, have gotten sales velocity, have used AMS to add fuel to that fire, but they haven't really learned classical marketing or advertising in sort of the sort of offline normal world business environment. So they don't have some fundamentals. And one of the fundamentals is just how much of your overall budget, you know, should you assign towards advertising. And I would say consumer packaged goods companies can be relatively high percentage. I mean, it could be up to 22%. And you can Google around and find these numbers, the different surveys that companies, you know, fill out. They'll tell you how much of their overall budget is assigned to ad spend. And so I would just say for long-term planning purposes, you should spend, we suggest in the range of 8 to 15%. And we've talked about this on other podcasts. So the mindset is, I'm spending part of my, and that's a function of your top line revenue. So if you made $100,000, for example, you'd spend $8,000 to $15,000 on advertising. Now, you know, that some people would be like, oh, that's way more than I'm comfortable with. Other people would be like, oh, I spend tons more than that. But that's the first kind of, you know, rule of thumb, I would say, is get your bearings around that. And then the question is, how much of that is allocated towards Amazon ads? And if all of it is consumed by Amazon ads, or part of it can be, you know, on to something else. In my view, Amazon ads fall into the paid search bucket, just like Google AdWords campaigns do. And so, you know, I think that's a kind of big picture idea, is, you know, how to sort that out. Okay, so that would be one question I ask my clients. Big picture, what do you think are the skills that are transferable as we talk about going beyond advertising on Amazon into other platforms? What do you get from AMS advertising that you can then, you know, adapt to other places?
Happy to answer that question. Just in response to what you were saying before, I just want to say again, 8 to 15% is the perfect range. That's exactly the range that I advise my clients. If you're much above 10%, by the way, if you're honest and you look at your margins on Amazon particularly, because you pay your 15% sales commission, you'll often find that you are not very profitable. So that's the first thing. Second thing is the implied question of, where should you spend your advertising dollars? And if you're on Amazon primarily, then my answer would be very simple. Amazon ads. They are very effective. People try all kinds of clever stuff, some of which may be useful for other purposes, primarily getting reviews, which is also hard, of course. But anything else generally is way less effective, like by a factor of 10. So that would be my simple response on that. So in terms of the skills that you learn in Transferable, well, interesting question. I mean, Amazon ads really splits into two bits now. One is the very traditional on Amazon traditional, which is to say it's sponsored product ads, which involve very little skill except for keyword choices, which is the absolute primary skill of, which is the flip side of your market choice. The second one is allocation of your budget. And the third one is then the bidding strategy. I don't think you need to be particularly complicated about the bids and the advertising budget. Unlike, say, Google or Facebook ads, the budget does not automatically get just spent. So if you put a $50 budget a day, you don't necessarily spend anything close to $50. You might spend a fraction of that. But the bid side, I mean, again, you're going to expect to pay a fair amount because it's pretty qualified traffic. Say $1, $2 for a keyword is not untypical in the US. Slightly less than that in Europe sometimes, sadly not much less these days. But apart from that, I don't think you learn that many transferable skills from that. With the sponsored brand ads, then you have a lot more decision making to make. And just like with Facebook, you're learning about visual creation, probably use of infographics, possibly anyway, the use of the right words. If you're doing videos, then of course there's a voiceover artist and all those other skill sets as well. But that's, for me, that's like a 5% of Amazon ads at the moment, to put a random number on it. What's your experience of that?
Yeah, no, I think there are some transferable skills, I would say. The first one is you learn the dismal science of economics by studying your AMS ads. And, you know, most people have a bunch of ad work or ad spending that just doesn't work. You have to learn how to, in essence, invest with no harvest, no good outcome. You have to learn to invest and immediately cut off something that's spending a lot of your money. You have to learn how to stay on top of the specific ads or the specific key phrases you're going after and evaluate the merits. You have to basically learn how, and this is the nice part of AMS ads in my view, it's also true of Google AdWords, is you have to learn to almost place bets. It's almost like placing a bet on, if we use a racetrack metaphor, place a bet on all 10 horses, if you will, and then you look after 10 yards down the track, which horse is doing better. And, you know, you get this mindset as an AMS advertiser of evaluating the success of micro efforts, keywords, specific ad choices, et cetera, et cetera. Those are highly transferable to every other ad platform. I spend a lot of money on Google AdWords, spend a lot of money on Etsy advertising, on Facebook ads, and I also do AMS ads for all my books. And so you do end up getting that mindset, which I think is critical as a takeaway, of being a granular evaluator of, you know, specific ads that you set up and test. And it's like you're a little scientist in there, you know, learning what works. And if you just dump money in it and don't look, you will waste all your money. I mean, so that's kind of those are the big picture transferable skills, I think,
That's interesting. Absolutely everything you say, as soon as you're saying, I'm like, yeah, that makes total sense. They are exactly the things you have to sweat over. I mean, I think really the key with Amazon ads is probably the same with Google ads. I'm not much of an expert. Is simple. You need to absolutely tie in economics, i.e. profit and loss, as well as cash flow with your advertising efforts. So it's kind of, I suppose, a development of scientific advertising in that famous book, right? So you have to be ruthlessly efficient at pruning the fat. And as you say, I think that's the key. Is just the other thing that I would say in terms of actionable things you should be doing daily, monthly, weekly, whatever. Violent changes are a bad idea normally. And that's been, you know, the very expert people agreeing with me in this. And my experience tells me that as well, that really you don't ever want to have a keyword just turned off. So you don't want to trim the fat, not cut it violently, because there is, in theory, an optimal price for every single keyword. Even if you're betting, you know, half a cent on a keyword that turns up once in a blue moon, in theory, that should produce a return on investment if you get the bid right. Now, in practice, you could micromanage that to the nth degree and go crazy. So it's only a principle. I'm not saying you should go down that rabbit hole too far. But what it means is, if a keyword isn't performing, you should probably quite quickly cut the bid quite drastically so that it won't cost you much money. But that's different from turning it on or off. So crude on-off movements are normally the bad idea, in my experience.
Well, that's how I do it. I do the bad idea, probably. No, I mean, I've always said in prior conversations, I'm a horseshoes and hand grenades kind of guy. I mean, it's just, for in my way of thinking, it's sort of like just do the obvious stuff and then evaluate it on obvious, you know, the merits. And so, yeah, I run a lot of keywords. I test a lot of keywords, but I do toggle them off if they're just complete losers. Now, there are some that, you know, you find that are like marginal, like some days it works, some days it doesn't work. And those are the harder ones. Those are the ones where you're like, okay, give it more time, give it more time. But now we're in the weeds a little bit.
We are, but this, just before we get caught in the weeds, we'll put, let me put it this way. You need to evaluate yourself in this regard quite quickly, or you will waste a lot of money, whether you are an in the weeds kind of guy or horseshoes and hand grenades, as you put it. And I'm definitely a horseshoes and hand grenades guy. I tend to pull the levers big time when I see there's a need, and I tend to toggle keywords on off exactly like you do in time campaigns. I mean, I'm fairly crude about it. The truth is, if you have a big set of products on Amazon and you're spending a lot of money, I mean, there's one of the guys in the mastermind spending, I think, something like $5,000 a day on Amazon ads. You need to really get that managed. And sooner or later, if you're horseshoes and hand grenades, I love that phrase, then don't be managing it yourself. I'm not necessarily saying you should hire an agency. There's a whole other conversation. Most of them don't seem to impress the serious Amazon sellers that I know. Most of them have pretty dark tales about that. But maybe internally training somebody up who has the meticulous kind of brain that it takes is a good plan. But that is exactly something you put your finger on. The other thing is, I'm not going to get into it now, but you do need to be prepared to get into the weeds. And that's a conversation you can find all over the internet. But whoever's doing it needs to be prepared to be very, very detail orientated. And that's all I would say about that, really. You've got a question around, you've got this concept called the Crazy Ivan. Tell me about the Crazy Ivan concept.
Well, the question is really the big picture thinking. When do you turn off your AMS ads or your Amazon ads strategically? And so, and I think it's an important idea. Yeah, my phrase I use with folks is to do a Crazy Ivan, which is from The Hunt for Red October, the, you know, best submarine movie of all time. And a part of it, the show occurs when they're following a Russian submarine, and the Russians are known, apparently, in the movie at least, for turning hard left or hard right to just see if anybody's following them. And so in my use of that idea, I just tell people what, you know, to deliberately shut off AMS ads and literally shut them off and see what happens to your organic rank. See, because one of the things that you're doing, of course, with AMS ads is you're fueling sales velocity. But if you're the best seller in your subcategory, you're number one in your BSR, and you've got AMS ads running, the real question in your mind is, do you need the AMS ads at all, or would you continue to be number one? And so you have to test your way through that. And so doing a Crazy Ivan or just shutting it off will be one way to evaluate that. That's one strategic use case for shut off. And then there's another one I'm happy to share about as well, from a real example from this week we were working with somebody on.
Yeah, I've got some thoughts on that. I think again, you need to assess who you are. If you're very sort of hand grenade throwing type person, and you have the courage to do it that way, then a Crazy Ivan might be the right way of doing it. I've got an example from the mastermind of somebody who did that in the middle of Q4, and I think I mentioned it before. And this is, by the way, very different from when you're launching. It is not crazy to turn off your advertising 1 week into a product launch. You're just like, that's like turning off the boosters on a shuttle when it's, you know, in the air. It will just kill it. Don't do this. But once the products are launched, and I have to say that, then, and they had a load of products rank, and they turned it off, and they discovered that some products sank like a stone, some did okay, but dragged it down a bit in terms of ranking, and some just sold exactly the same, so they could differentiate between the ones that needed advertising and those that didn't. And of course they just could choose to run, not run, or reduce. Those are the three sort of possibilities. So I think they chose to reduce their spend greatly on the ones that got made money without Amazon ads. So yeah, worth doing if you're that kind of person. If you're a very meticulous type person, doing that will scare you witless, and that's not a good plan. So it does come down to knowing yourself as well. And also, if you're managing people who are very meticulous, they're going to absolutely detest this strategy. So you're going to have to sell it to them and reassure them, and you've got to manage that situation as well.
Well, if they're in charge of the finances, they'll be receptive to the idea of improving the company's net margin by reducing advertising. I mean, that's a function of expense at the end of the day. And so, yeah, I mean, but yeah, these are the ideas. Yeah, my example from this week is a nice little story. Client that is just doing phenomenally well and has such velocity with their products that they basically sell out as soon as they have inventory. in the warehouse, in the Amazon warehouses. I mean, they're just vaporizing their products so quickly. And so they were in that situation this week. And so my question was, did you shut off your AMS ads and did you raise your price? And those are both maneuvers to slow down your sales velocity. And I know that's a rarefied air type situation. There are very few Amazon sellers that would be in that circumstance, but it does happen. And people obviously do need to think through managing the velocity, because one of the things we know, and I'd love your thoughts on this, is if you do sell through and you're out of inventory, then that's a worst case scenario than if you have reduced your sales velocity a bit, but you still have inventory in the warehouses, and Amazon can continue to sell your product. So strategically throttling down and simultaneously raising prices is my suggestion for that person. And they're going to now basically build a system where they have a price point they will raise to and an AMS budget they'll reduce to when they have inventory under, I guess you could say, the pipeline is under stress. They don't have enough inventory to keep up with demand. And I think those are the strategic ideas that are important to think about. What are your thoughts on that?
Yeah, I mean, I think these are important things to think about. And as you've implied earlier, I mean, advertising sits at the end of a chain of things. First of all, the market selection, so the keywords you're in, and the product itself and how people are going to feel about it when they get it, and thus the reviews you get and the conversion rates. That's one side, the listing side. And then the other side is the stock management side. And of course, yeah, if you increase money on advertising, then you end up with a stock control problem. So yeah, it's not uncommon, actually. If you have a product that takes off and gets into the quotes Amazon slipstream, then it's very common that, as one of the people put it in the mastermind, stock just evaporates. They're just chucking it into Amazon as quickly as they can, like by the container load. I mean, we're talking of somebody shipping two or three containers a week sometimes, if not the same product, but you know, it can sell a frightening amount of stuff. I think that you just need one nuance to what you were saying, is you need to think about what situation you're in. If you're going to go out of stock, then there's a common belief, and this sort of stuff gets debated hotly, so I don't claim this is the latest tactical truth by now with the Amazon algorithm, but if you're going to go out of stock, they often say you should go out of stock at about the right sort of with good sales velocity, because that more or less sticks in the memory of the algorithm. Now, that varies depending on how competitive your landscape is when you get back in stock, so that's going to vary, but that is one commonly held belief that it seems to be held by most people that are doing well. On the other hand, as you said correctly, I believe that going out of stock is not good. You should stay in stock if you possibly can, and thus reducing your ad spend and increasing your price. The other thing I would say, though, is that to have to do that means that you've misjudged the situation. What you really need to do, and the sophisticated sellers I know do, is manage velocity of stock movement very carefully by pulling the levers of price and Amazon ads, basically, and other advertising platforms as well. If you're using, you know, Google organic referral traffic, it's less under control. But, you know, so that is an important set of levers, and you need to really manage things such that if possible, you don't go out of stock. And that's hard to do. And that comes down to how much capital you can allocate to each product. Because in the ideal world, instead of having, say, 3 months worth of stock, which is the usual lead time from China to the US or UK, plus some safety stock, in the ideal world, if you can afford it, 6 months in stock for a really hot selling product is a better proposition. So then we're getting into stock management, and then it sits at the center of a lot of stuff, doesn't it? This, you can't avoid it, really.
Yeah, it does. No, and you do get these amazing scenarios in which you just cannot feed the beast fast enough. And you literally, all the money in the world won't solve the problem if the suppliers involved don't have raw materials or the packaging or the bottles or the, you know, whatever it is, all the stuff that goes into the product. And these become realities because Amazon can just consume so darn much product. So this is a situation where advertising, of course, is strategic in that way. Okay, so these are big picture topics. Anything else on the big picture side before we go into a bit more technical detail?
Yeah, well, I think we should take its own episode for the technical detail. So to sort of wrap up the big picture stuff, if that's okay. I think the first thing is that it's obvious from what we've just been discussing that really advertising sits at the middle of other strategies. you cannot get any success with what Jim Cochran in lovely phrase calls lipstick on a pig marketing, as you were implying to start with. I think there are two separate things that need to be right before you even bother pouring the gasoline on the fire or the gas on the fire of advertising, which is, first of all, the product to market match. And as you were saying, and I love the idea because I'm encouraging everyone like a fanatic at the moment to do what you were saying about talking to your market. If you don't understand your market, care about what they care about, understand their values, the drivers, the things that will make them click on an advert, the things that will make them buy a product, then you're toast. So that's the product to market match is a bit different from the message to market match, which is getting them to click on a listing. So I would say there are two things you've got to solve before you even get close to running effective advertising. If you try and sell something that's rubbish, it's lipstick on a pig marketing, as Jim Cochran put it, and it will never succeed. Because if you manage to get people to buy it, first of all, they probably won't because it won't look good. It will look good value. And if they do, it may be at a rubbish price point that is not profitable. And if they do get it and they hate the product, they'll give you 1-star reviews and then the economics break down. So anyway, which way you break it down, it doesn't work. So I think you need to get two things right before you even think about marketing, which is the product to market match. At the end of the process, people are going to have a product in their hands, and if they love it, they'll give you 5-star reviews, and that makes the whole machine keep running. But before they even get the product in their hand, nobody on Amazon or any digital marketing buys a product. They buy a set of images and words, in other words, an offer. So you need to get the offer, the message to market match right as well. And if you get those two things right, as you said, with your wonderful emphasis on talking to the consumer, which I think is absolutely so critical, and I'm such a big advocate of that, and is working very well for my clients. Then if you get that stuff right, then you've got to get the product made at the right price and right quality. Then is the time, and only then should you be spending big on advertising. If you have made a mistake with all the previous stuff, you just need to be honest about it. That's the first thing I would say, and that's the point you made. And I cannot emphasize enough how important that is. And you know, you've said it before, but I'm going to say it again, because people do come to me with terrible choices of products and I look at them and like, well, I can't wave a magic wand for you and sorry about that. What about you?
AMS is not the I would just say in those situations AMS is not the answer. Ads are not the answer. And so I think this is important to think about the big picture stuff. I think the overall issue of being the marketer for your product is an important concept. And that would be my biggest suggestion as a takeaway from this conversation, is it's easy as a third-party seller in Amazon to transfer responsibility for marketing to Amazon. And when you start running AMS ads, you take a little bit of that responsibility back onto your own plate. And you say to yourself, wait, I'm responsible for marketing this product. And the more you do that, well, that's just where my suggestions run and where my mind goes for e-commerce sellers, is learn to take responsibility for marketing your goods. And I love advertising on Amazon because it starts you on that journey. And I think that's probably the biggest takeaway, is look at it with that lens, through that perspective. Okay. So with all that said, let's wrap this one up and then we'll jump into episode 2 and talk about details. If you're loving this show, then we would love for you to subscribe on your favorite podcast player. Spotify is my favorite. Now, Michael, what's your favorite?
Well, I would say Apple Podcasts probably still, although Spotify is, you know, something I use for music a lot, so occasionally I'm on there anyway.
Yeah. Okay. All right. So Spotify or Apple iTunes or Apple Player. I don't even know. They changed the name on us. But we'd love to have you subscribe. We'd love to have you leave a review. And thank you so much for listening. Share this. So with that said, let's wrap up. Thank you again so much for listening. And if you're loving this type of content, be sure to follow us on your favorite podcast player. That might be Spotify. It might be Apple Podcasts or whatever your player of choice is. Really appreciate it. Leave a review if you get a chance. And we'll see you in the next episode.
That was the E-Commerce Leader Podcast with Michael Veazey in London, England.
Jason Miles in Seattle, Washington.
We offer you free help on our website, including PDFs, videos, and mini courses on topics like traffic, product, and sales channels. Some are for Amazon, most are for any sales channel. To get those and to stay up to date with our podcasts, go to www.theecommerceleader.com. Thanks for listening.